Once Upon a Journey, Chapter 52, The Bullet Wound. "I am sure that you have heard of Pierre Louis," said the Bolshemtiv. "He is the best friend of Prince Benedict Radzivill." Ravnissin nodded his head. Why would the holy tzaddik speak about a pair of Gentile noblemen who wasted their days hunting and partying? "Well," continued the Bolshemtiv, "you should know that Pierre Louis is Jewish. He is a Tinaik Shenishba, a Jew who has been raised as a non-Jew and knows nothing about his roots and religion." Ravnissin was shocked. Could someone so far removed from anything spiritual, so attached to a carefree life of wild pleasures, truly be Jewish? "Yes, he is undeniably a Jew," declared the Bolshemtiv. "Pierre was born to a Jewish mother and a Jewish father. He even had a bris milah and was given the name Pesach Tzvi. He was named after his mother's father, who was great in Torah knowledge and in Yiras Shemayim. He was given the French name Pierre to match his Hebrew name Pesach." Ravnissin could no longer contain his surprise. "If he is a Jew, how did he end up with such a lifestyle?" "Pesach Tzvi's mother was a good woman who wished to raise her son in the way of the Torah," explained the tzaddik. "However, his father completely abandoned Torah and mitzvahs. As he fell lower, he dragged his son down with him. He educated his son to live as a non-Jew." Ravnissin had no doubt that everything the tzaddik said was true. He knew that although the Baal Shem Tov lived in Mezhebush, his Ruach HaKodesh spread everywhere. His holy eyes could see what was happening on the other side of the world. He could see back into the past and far into the future. "Pesach Tzvi is from a family of Levim. He was given his second French name, Louis, because he is a Levi." "Is he aware of all this?" asked Ravnissin. "No," replied the tzaddik. "He was never given any of this information, and therefore, I would like to give you an important mission." Ravnissin felt his heart beating as the Baal Shem Tov lifted a sealed envelope and pressed it into his hand. "Take this envelope and keep it safe. In another few weeks, the prince and his friends will come to Harki for their winter hunting party. Pierre Louis, or rather Pesach Tzvi HaLevi, will also arrive in Harki and participate in the hunt. Please open this letter on the second day of the prince and his friends' stay in Harki. Read its contents carefully. After that, visit Pesach Tzvi and repeat all that I have told you about his background. Tell him his Hebrew name and explain that he is truly Jewish. He may refuse to listen or accept what you have to say. He may not seem at all bothered by your message. Do not be disappointed. Do not give up on him. Return to him the next day and repeat this information. Go back again and again until he will eventually open his heart to the truth." Ravnissin listened in silence, struggling to understand all that he had heard. Over the years, he had received a number of missions from the Baal Shem Tov. Some were complicated and even dangerous. But this mission somehow felt different and extremely interesting. The tzaddik concluded his words with a blessing. "I give you a bracha for success in your holy mission to rescue a lost Jewish soul." Ravnissin returned to Harki and waited for the tzaddik's words to be fulfilled. Sure enough, a few weeks later, a large commotion was heard in Harki. Prince Radzivill and his friends had arrived for their winter hunt. As usual, they would first go hunting in the thick forests and only later make their way to the castle that stood on the outskirts of Harki for their wild parties. The merchants of Harki and peddlers from the surrounding areas lost no time in preparing their wares for the wealthy guests. Their chance to make a fortune would arrive at the end of the hunt. The prince and Pierre Louis stayed in the home of the local priest. They waited until all of the invited nobles arrived and then set off into the forest in a grand procession, riding expensive and highly prized horses. The hunt lasted the entire first day and half of the second. On the afternoon of the second day, the nobles returned to their lodgings in Harki carrying a number of dead animals and fowl. They were dusty and exhausted from the long, difficult hunt. The prince, was in an exceptionally good mood. He was proud of his fine catch. A number of rabbits and wild doves, 3 wild geese and 1 young deer. Pierre Louis was equally pleased with himself. His catch was even more impressive than that of the prince. As they entered the town, the two friends guided their horses towards the home of the priest. They looked forward to a long rest, after which they would prepare for the first party that would be held in the castle on the following evening. They entered the priest's courtyard and returned their horses to the stables. They removed the horses' saddles and made their way to the main entrance of the house. A lavish dinner awaited them. As the prince passed through the doorway, his foot caught the edge of the doorstep, and he tripped and fell hard. His hunting rifle was still in his belt, and it now slammed against the floor. The house echoed with the sound of a loud gunshot. A bullet flew out of the gun's barrel and entered the prince's stomach. He screamed as blood began flowing from his wound. Everyone began rushing around in confusion. The prince's personal doctor, who accompanied the nobleman in all of his trips, rushed to his side and tried to stop the loss of blood, but the wound was too deep. "Bring more doctors!" the doctor yelled with a look of desperation on his face. "Hurry! Get help!" Some of the prince's men ran back to the stables to fetch their horses. They galloped off into the distance to summon doctors from nearby areas. Within minutes, the entire Harki knew about the prince's grave situation. The local residents were shocked at the tragedy. In addition, the merchants who had prepared their wares well in advance now worried they would lose all their income. The Jews of Harki were also deeply saddened by the news. Unlike most Paritim in those days, Benedict had always treated the Jews kindly. Rav Nissen heard about the accident. However, he did not join the rest of Harki's Jews who had gathered in the shul to daven that Prince Radivil's life be spared. Instead, Rav Nissen opened the drawer where he had hidden the envelope that the Baal Shem Tov had given him a few weeks earlier. It was the second day of the hunt, he realized with excitement. He remembered that the tzaddik had told him to read the letter on the second day and to follow its instructions. He felt certain that the letter was connected with the prince's unusual injury. Trembling in awe, the Melamed of Harki broke the seal on the Baal Shem Tov's letter and began reading the instructions that had been written by the tzaddik himself. As his eyes moved from one line to the next, his heart pounded with amazement. He was so overwhelmed by what he read that he found it difficult to finish reading the letter.